Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Correction Corner. In this podcast, we have our dates and our wires crossed, and we thought that the den was back sooner than we thought, but it just means we have an even longer lead-in time to fully revel in the nostalgia. The den will be back on our screens the first Sunday of November, which is the 7th. The 7th of November, 6:30. Be there or be square. That's when it's on. Not whenever we said, please ignore us. Can I blame the worms? I'm going to blame the worms.
You have to say it though, like it's your line.
Where'd you get your hairstyle? Where'd you get your shades?
Welcome back to Bandwagons. Are we recording?
Yeah. Why did you not do the intro?
I did do the intro.
Oh, are you taking that? Oh, sorry.
You just told me you liked it. I regret the voice.
I thought you were going to do the... Oh, well, yeah, anyway.
Where did you get your hairstyle?
Where did I get my hairstyle?
It's not fun when you do it like that.
I got in Sarah Lyons Hair and Beauty, but yeah, that's where I got mine. Where'd you get yours?
Black Amber Gory.
Shout outs to the hairdressers. You are, as Bree correctly said, you are very welcome back to Bandwagons. We're here with a bumper episode today.
A bumper is the only word for it.
Which has been a while in the making, and I think we were kind of waiting for the right time. And what better time now, as it is due back very imminently. They've rebooted it on the back of the success of the Comic Relief sketch. The Den is going to be back on our screens very, very soon.
Yep, it's starting Sunday at 7? 6?
Yeah.
6. For 6 episodes.
Yeah. What date is that, just in case people listen to this retroactively?
It is going to be the 5th, I feel like.
The 4th.
Oh, very close.
Sorry, you were very close. it's back. Ray's back in the hot seat. Zig and Zag, Dustin, they're all back. If you watch the Comic Relief one, which was very, very funny, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's the kind of same setup.
Did not get it.
The Yanks did not get it, and the Yanks did not appreciate the treatment of Niall Horan on it, which was probably
totally
the
justified.
Funniest thing ever. Of like people like legitimately critiquing Dustin the Turkey
for cutting him off.
Oh, look on Twitter if you haven't looked at that. But anyway, yeah. What are your memories of it as a kid though?
I was only saying this to my housemates because one of them didn't watch The Den, and I was like, right.
Okay.
But like, I genuinely look at the clock sometimes and it's like 12:30 and I'm like, time for high five. Like, yeah. 20 years later, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, my granny used to mind me like before I went to school as a baby, and then when I went to school, I'd go up to their house every day after school. And my granddad. But like, The Den was like all we watched whenever we were in their house. God love them, until like the news came on. It was the RT2 all day long. I don't know how they did not smash the TV screen.
Yeah.
Because like, it was just routine. You'd get in, you get a blanket, you'd just watch it all day long.
Yeah. Being off sick from school, and like, even
yeah.
like in the later years, you'd have like Emma and Saki on in the morning, and then it would be like, it'd go to like, now this is much later stage 10, but like, you'd have like Catherine in the afternoons then. She was like,
you were off school from DY.
Oh no, Catherine was not in DY, was she?
You were definitely a teenager.
Oh, probably, yeah, and still watching. Because it's that, so it's just that like nice,
it's just routine,
like,
as
yeah.
well, because it was always the same like lineup, like same schedule every day, and you knew what you were going to get, and you knew what you could like skip and like it was just
yeah. But my first memory was like Damien, like sexy Damien.
Sexy
and
Damien. I had a sexual awakening to Damien McCall.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, he was hot. Like I even knew that at my age. I was like, yeah, bit of me.
Yeah,
bit of me, Damien. He was just like tall, dark, and handsome. Like
yeah,
tall, dark, and handsome, and he was kind of like a bit tougher and like Saki and Dustin. Do you know that kind of way? He was like, hey, the bit of an authoritarian okay. touch. That's what he had.
Yeah.
Loved Saki as well. Were you a Saki or a Dustin person? I was a Saki person.
I was a Saki person, I think. I always just think Saki? I could smell Saki, like, but you absolutely couldn't. Like,
not to be gender normative.
Saki was non-binary.
Yeah, Saki was non-binary.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, no, but like, yeah, I just loved Saki.
I was on the Den.
So was I, but I'll let you go first. And so, I was on Catherine's year.
Oh, you were like a full grown adult.
No, I was in like late stage primary school.
So I was like probably
I won
nine
a 300 euro voucher. It was
did
divine.
You?
Yeah.
No, I was on Starstream.
You've told me about this before and I don't remember it. But
do you remember they had like streams? So there would be a different stream every day. I have it here. It was like Mondays was quiz stream where they had like teams of boys and girls like answering questions against each other.
Okay.
Tuesdays was pet stream and then later style stream.
Okay.
I think they were on at like 20 past five.
Was there a sing stream?
Star stream. Like Wednesdays was cyber stream. Thursdays was star stream.
Okay.
And so Fridays star was sports stream.
Okay. So, okay.
Star stream was like the talent show.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember I tried to find like pictures of it earlier just so I could like, because I can vividly remember it in my head, but there's such little evidence of it online.
That is the only
Sinead
thing.
Sinead Kennedy used to host it.
Yes. Yeah.
I was on it with my school choir and I remember like I was the tallest, so I was at the back, and like if you remember it, like the back had like all this fairy light drop background, and I remember like touching it because I was dying to know what it felt like after seeing it on TV, and it was just literally fairy lights and like a net curtain.
Of course.
But I
yeah.
just vividly remember that. What were you on it for?
I was on it for, it was like a quiz thing, so it was like me and two friends from primary school, and we had to do like a we had to have objects and we had to kind of give clues to Catherine and she had to guess what they were. And if she guessed, it was like five things. And if she didn't guess any of them, you got like a 500 euro voucher. And like for each one, it was like 100 euro.
And would she have to let on because she was an adult and you were a child?
I think so, yeah, to be honest. And like, I don't know why we got a 300 voucher because she guessed, I think, all of them bar two. So technically we should have only gotten 200, but I don't know. It was, yeah, maybe I need to ask one of the girls and maybe she'll give me more information. I'll put on the Insta to like explain it properly. Some of the girls from home, but yeah, it was iconic. We got to go up to like Cork City for the day and we did it from the Cork studio, and then they obviously like streamed in into the the Dublin studio. It was mad. But like those older iterations, like, I mean, like Catherine, she did very well, but like there's no comparison to that, like, kind of moment in time, just them on the set and like all the toys and like all the puppets. And like even when Francie Boylan joined later on, like, because he was probably like the latter half for me as well, and all that crack they had.
Yeah,
so funny.
I think if you ask
but
anyone
so simple.
What their memory of the Den was, it was probably like their happy birthday segment.
Happy birthday.
There's no one person birthday. That doesn't remember that. They did it like every day of the year, even Christmas Day, where they'd have like this roll like of kids photos and they just wish them all a happy birthday.
And you'd kill.
You'd be so jealous.
You'd kill, to be honest.
Yeah.
To murder someone. Like, honestly.
There's no one that doesn't remember that.
We actually asked on our close friends, which is only available to our Patreon pals.
And the address. Do you remember the address?
Yeah. And someone literally said the happy birthday song. And then someone else said that they knew the address off by heart.
Yeah.
Just from having been on it.
Like PO Box 2.
P.O. Box 2222. Yeah. RT Dublin 4. Like, I mean, air codes could never, you know what I mean? I was like, I remember asking.
What's
I was
like, Donnybrook?
Like? I was like, why is it Dublin 4?
Yeah.
Then my mom was like, please leave me alone and stop asking me questions. But
shut up and eat your cornflakes.
Shut up and eat your cornflakes, yeah. Literally, so Dino Sorka said the happy birthday song. And then, who's the other person? Someone else said it. Sorry, I've missed your thing now. Will I have a read through of what some people said?
Yeah.
So we just asked people of kind of their memories, and like there was a few general ones came up which we'll get to in the rest of the episode. Bricklayer Spice wrote in and said, used to roar at my mom every day telling her they were showing a drawing I sent in. Then the one day they showed my masterpiece, she wouldn't believe me, in brackets, understandable. Ha.
Oh.
Oh, you would be freaked. Like, Liam McSweeney said, I have a phobia of every puppet that has been on the show. Dustin and Martin Duck partake. Do you remember Martin Duck? Might have to Google him. Was that before our time? I don't know.
I'm going to Google him right now.
Nikki Ray, 1996, said, Emma and Saki, mad how she transitioned from the band Six to the Den. Emoji. The versatility. Truly the range. Who is the range?
She's very good.
Yeah.
Martin Duck looks so terrified.
Actually, Siobhan O'Dea, named three, also said the duck. He was. I'm getting PTSD. I wish you hadn't brought this up. We need to put that on the Insta. Coat. He was.
He looks like he just got out of the joy.
He haunted my dreams. Look at, it's the eyes. It's the eyes, because they're kind, like they're evil eyes.
I'm going to put it on Instagram.
Oh, what a bad man. What a bad man.
I always say that,
man.
But I actually really, really mean it. Can I have my notepad?
Yes, you can. Sorry. There you go. Someone had sent a DM that I want to read, because it's kind of funny. Maybe, should I keep this anonymous? I don't know if it matters.
Read it first and then I'll tell you if we should shame them.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't call this my favourite memory from the Den, but definitely a unique one I will never forget. A few weeks before my 6th birthday, my dad sent in an application for me to be birthday girl of the day / week. Cut my birthday week, my picture comes up and I am announced as a winner. But, Gatubbin, the date of this monumental occasion just so happened to be September 11th, 2001.
Oh, no one saw it.
So surprisingly enough, my parents were not watching the Den and we missed it. While my parents continued to watch the events unfolding in New York, my auntie rings the house phone to congratulate me. I see red and bowled for the telly in the hopes I would see myself, but alas, it was too late. Dustin and Saki had moved on and my picture was nowhere to be seen. I was devastated and inconsolable for weeks. So much so, my poor father hounded God knows who, and eventually a VCR tape arrived with a clip of me winning on it, along with a famous Den pack. This made it all better, obviously. Love the pod, gals. Have a good one.
That's gas. Movie shout out. All days of all years.
Of all, like,
of,
I mean,
of all history.
Who, oh, yeah, nightmare. Sorry, will I give
I'm
her a shout
sure
out?
I'm pretty sure Micheál, yeah, go on.
Go on, Sarah Dunphy. Thanks for being a friend.
I'm pretty sure Micheál won, like, as he always did, won a Den pack, because we have a little, like, drawstring bag that says the Den on it. And there was definitely, like, keyrings and stuff floating around. He definitely won a Den pack.
Yeah.
And then he definitely won. Do you remember Dustin had his own show in the later years?
DDN.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that as well, and I was too old to be watching it.
Like, Micheál was on it and did a competition, like he was on the phone or whatever, and he won a little TV watch. So it was like a television watch, but like this was, I don't know what year this was. It was like well before iPhones. But you had like an aerial and you had to like, I remember him going around the house like trying to find signal for this watch when like our own TVs didn't get signal where we live. Like, so I don't think he ever got telly on it, but it was really cool.
Oh my God.
What was your favourite like show that was part of the Den? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like Pokemon or something, like, obviously. I'm trying to think.
The Morbegs?
I did enjoy the Morbegs. I did enjoy High Five a lot.
High Five, honestly. I would still sit down and watch it right now.
I loved any of that weird anime shit that they imported. Shin Chan, like Metabots.
Beyblade. We used to have Beyblades.
Digimon.
I was mad for them.
There was another one where it was like 12 of them and they were like all superheroes and they all had like numbers and they were like in red. No, it wasn't the Power Rangers. Did enjoy the Power Rangers as well though. Wild Force. I can't think of anything.
I took some off the Wikipedia page that just stood out for me.
Oh yeah, good idea.
64 Zoolane.
Iconic, yeah.
The Animals of Farthing Wood.
It's terrifying. That used to be on like so early. I'd never be up.
On the weekends, I feel like. Oh, maybe every day. I was up early.
No,
on the
I think it was on every day. I'd only ever watch that if I was up because I was like sick or something.
Yeah.
I'd never actively be up that early.
Beyblade, yeah. We mentioned Braceface.
Braceface, my life is complicated, boyfriend. Don't want to talk about it. Alicia Silverstone's best work.
Yeah. Bratz.
Everybody now, I'm going to show the whole world what we're all about. The girls at the fashion for
I'm
fashion.
Really not quizzing you on if you know the theme tune, but I do enjoy it.
I do remember that.
Cat Dog.
I don't remember the song for that, but I did enjoy
what
that.
What about Rugrats? Custard?
What the fuck was the name is ringing a far bell.
Charlie and Lola.
No, that's only recent.
See, half of these I get confused because I probably watched them with Quiva. I had Angelina Ballerina on this and I was like, you were...
Angelina Ballerina was lit.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember what age I was when I was enjoying it.
Charlie and Lola is kind of West Brit. Like, yeah. Kids show, anyway.
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, what a time. I love Courage.
Dexter's Laboratory.
Dexter's Laboratory. Yeah,
that'd be a great costume for you for Halloween.
Or Dexter.
Dexter.
Yeah. I'm already planning one.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Do you remember Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark? Would be on at like half five for the older kids.
I couldn't watch them though. It was too goosebumpy.
Yeah, same. After News Today. Fergus MacPhail.
Why do I know that name as well?
It was Australian. It was.
Oh, they used to have. Oh, yeah, that was it. They used to import like mad Canadian, mad Aussie.
Yeah.
And like any fucking anime like, they could get their
Blue
hands
Water
on.
High and all.
Yeah, Blue Dot. Yeah.
Foreign Exchange was. It needs a whole episode.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, we are going to do that eventually.
And the Morbegs, which I mentioned. There are so, so many more, but they were just the ones that I remembered.
Yeah. What a time. What a time. Sorry, I thought we got another mention in, but I don't think we did.
Incredible.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, we did get a message, but it actually wasn't related to the den, so. Well, actually, a lot of people did write in and say about What's Not, which is, like, you've referenced this umpteen times on this podcast, like that moment during Francie Boylan Jr.'s tenure. He hosted for 2 years, and like, can you explain the game and that moment for anyone who is like unfamiliar?
Oh, the pressure. I only watched it last night, so
you should be able to.
I should be able to, but let's see. I'm pretty sure it's like 20 questions, same layout as that, but like it's two kids and they have to ask Snotzer questions about like something he's thinking about. And the first to guess it wins a bike.
Yeah.
So it can be like an object. Is it always an object?
I don't know.
Person, place, or thing.
Yeah.
And it so happened to be like a house this time. But like the kids didn't really understand the competition.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay. They were like, do you want to ask Snotzer a question? And they were like, yeah, where did you get your hairstyle? And they were like, no, you're not getting
like,
this.
Because Snotzer is this like pig puppet. And he's like
definitely in a motorbike gang.
He's in a motorbike gang like... leather jacket, like these kind of like shades you get in Nine Crows like now, and like everyone's in the studio kind of like what, and they're like no
you have to ask it like, you know, is it a something, and they're like, oh,
trying to cajole like the child along, and he's like not having a bob of it. And it's just, it stood the absolute test of time. It's one of those moments that constantly comes up when people talk about Irish TV and when people talk about the Den. It is.
If you haven't seen it, we're going to put it on IGTV because it's worth it. It's so, so funny. Every time Kenna comes home for Christmas, we sit around and watch it as a family and just laugh.
Oh, so good.
It is iconic. What do you hope to see from this reboot? What do you want to come back?
What do I want to come back? Bring back Saki. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need a bit of Saki. I loved what they did for the comic relief, but I would also be like, don't... like milk the shite out of it either, you know what I mean, like just keep it, like they're doing it live, which I think is going to be really good, but I would just say just keep it kind of snappy and then see how it goes from there. I don't know, I think it'll be good and I think people will enjoy it, and I think it's more for, like, it's absolutely not for, well, it is and it isn't for kids at this point, but it's kind of one of those formulas that they're not going to go too far wrong when you have like Ray, Zig and Zag, Dustin, any celeb kind of thrown into the mix.
People go mad for nostalgia. Like,
yeah,
you
it's
can't
that
really
nostalgia. But it's also like the Dustin is very funny. Like Dustin is iconic. And then obviously Zig and Zag are iconic. And then you've the whole thing of like Ray kind of playing the curmudgeonly, oh, like I'm just trying to keep things in order, whatever. I'd love another showdown with Ted.
Who's
very
Ted?
Enjoyable. Do you know the bear that like comes in and like Ray has to like wrestle him? Do you remember from Comic
Relief? Oh my God, yeah.
That was funny. Because you never get to see that side Ray enough, I think.
No.
Not now, like.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy that laugh from the Comic Relief thing. So I want a SmackDown versus Raw kind of thing. I'm going to enjoy it no matter what. Because I think it is one of those things that I think people need more than ever right now and will enjoy more than ever. Because as you said, it's pure nostalgia. It's just fun. It's nothing to do with the world outside. Like, it's just kind of like switch your brain off, watch it, enjoy it without kind of also feeling like your brain is melting in the way that you can kind of feel with reality TV. You know that kind of way? It's just pure entertainment. And I don't think you can go wrong with that.
Yeah. We were very lucky to interview two of the best hosts of the Den.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're all great hosts. Yeah. But...
they're all. I think they're all great
lovely
hosts.
They're all lovely hosts.
We reached out to Francie Boylan Jr., who we mentioned. He is going to get into What's Not, and he kind of brought us through
what really went down.
Yeah. Really enjoyed that chat. And also we got Mr. Ian Dempsey on the phone, and
we had a bone to pick with him.
Because we do think the reason why we think there might have been a Zoe 101 situation there where
Shane ruined the den for children everywhere.
Yeah. So I mean, we had to ask, you know, we had to ask the question because we are investigative journalists. So we are happy to bring our findings to you now in the form of these two interviews. We sincerely hope you enjoy. Bree, do you want to intro the man himself?
Sure.
Yeah.
Now we have the man who started it all off, Mr. Ian Dempsey. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Hi, Bree. How's it going? Hi, Vanilla.
God, I'm so nervous all of a sudden.
I know.
I was literally just talking to
Why?
Him. I don't know. Oh, honestly, I don't know. Listen, the den. Like, what a cultural moment in time for kids and adults alike. And you, obviously, as Bree just said, kicked it all off. Ian and the den. What was your standout moment from hosting it and doing it and the thing that kind of brings you back to that time in your life?
Well, I mean, I started doing this, you know, like before Zig and Zag ever arrived, you know. So, I mean, I was there on my own for the first year, and I was basically, I was in an empty studio, and all I was supposed to do was to do continuity, kind of introducing cartoons or whatever for kids. And then people started sending in cuddly toys and started sending in pictures and poems and all this, and we started sticking them up on the walls. So it started getting more colourful and more colourful. And then when we tried to kind of change it for the following year and put a bit of movement, as I described to the producers, into it. And the movement arrived in the form of Zig and Zag from the Planet Zog. And they came down to us. And like just them arriving was a standout moment. I know it was 33 years ago, so it's a long time ago. But they showed some videos there last week of the whole thing. And it was magical because I had to pretend I didn't realize there was somebody there, and kids were ringing in and saying, yeah, there's little yokes with funny things coming out of their ears and everything, you know. So it was a magical moment. But, I mean, we got to go to L.A. We did a whole week in L.A. We were driving a pink Cadillac and in the sunshine, and Zig was kind of getting a suntan, and he described himself as looking like a Weetabix, which was a bit of a problem because we were sponsored by Kellogg's at the time. So, you know.
Oh my God, those pesky aliens.
Exactly. Those pesky advertisers. But it was a magical moment, and I'm delighted to see that it's coming back. You know, like, I left it then in 1990 when my eldest son was born, and you may know him, actually.
I actually don't. Tell me more.
We were going to ask you that. The chain could have stopped.
Nobody ever really knows him. That's the thing, you see, about that guy.
Be honest. Is Shane the reason it's not on anymore?
Is what?
Is Shane the reason you're not on it anymore? Be honest.
Is Shane what?
Is Shane the reason you're not on it anymore?
Yes, it is. He is the reason. I was telling you, I was doing the breakfast show, as I still am, but I was doing it on 2FM at the time, and I was kind of spending my whole day out in RTE, just sitting on my backside, basically, doing nothing, and then going over there for 3 o'clock, and then I was arriving home at about 7:30 in the evening. And he was only born, and it wasn't fair to anybody, including myself, or him, or his mother. Because we were just too busy, and when a new child comes along, you just don't realize what the hell, you know. So I decided to give it up, and I think that was the time when they decided that nobody was ever going to have their name on the name of the show, because it used to be called Dempsey's Den, but then they cleverly just changed it to The Den from there on in, you know. But So that's it's all his fault, actually. That's why.
So yeah, people can direct their hate mail to Collaborative Studios. And why do you think the format was so popular for so many years?
I think the reason for it is because there was literally just one camera, so it was like you were looking into a picture frame, and there was no escape for either the viewer or for us, because, I mean, once that camera went on, everybody could see everything. So it was a kind of a wide shot, but it didn't move, and it didn't do close-ups on anybody. Zig and Zag obviously decided to do their own close-ups, and they'd move into the camera and back out again and all that, you know. So I mean, it was quite an intimate thing. And I mean, I remember Liam Miller, who was the controller of the TV at the time, he said something in the papers once to say that it cost like about 1% of what it would cost to put on a drama on RTE. Like, it was a really low budget stuff, you know. And, like, there wasn't even a cameraman there. It was all, you know, just the automatic camera. They just basically switched it on, and there it was. And that was your show. So it didn't cost a lot of money. And I think from that point of view, there was probably a kind of a hunger element to it in that we sort of tried to make something of it because it was very, very basic. So, you know, we were creative and imaginative, and people came up with different ideas. But obviously, they couldn't cost any money. But sometimes that's the way to do it, in a way, you know.
Oh, what a time.
Yeah, it makes sense. I never thought about that it's actually just so much cheaper than like Fair City or whatever.
So simple, but so effective.
You know? Debatable, but...
Yeah. That's another podcast for another day, I think. Oh my god. Amazing. Ian, thank you so much for joining us evening. We really appreciate it.
No problem. And continued success. I love your podcast. It's great. And I have listened to episodes. Haven't listened to them all. I don't think it's aimed particularly at me.
No, it's not your demographic. I mean?
But at the same time, I have listened to it, and I love the chemistry between the pair of you.
Aww.
And long may it continue, so fair play to you.
Do you have any suggestions for any bandwagons that might be for you that we could talk about?
I have lots of suggestions. Yeah.
He's giving me an email.
I'll tell you one, right? I'm going to give you one right now.
Okay.
And I think this is good. I've been thinking of doing this for years.
Right.
And I think it's quite good, right?
Okay.
You know AA Roadwatch?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Did you work there, Breed?
No, I had an interview. I didn't get the job.
Did you not? Okay. Well, if you think about it, all the people that have actually gone through that through the years.
So many.
Like, you know, like you talk about somebody like Lorraine Keane. You talk about Ruth Scott. You talk about...
Darren was
a guy called Ian McKeever who... He sadly died on a mountain. He was into mountain climbing in the end, but he used to do it. There's a huge, if you go through the list, there's so many people that have gone on to do other things. There's opera singers, there's rap artists, they've all got all these different little kind of things going on. And everybody's familiar with the whole concept of AA Roadwatch. So there you go. There's one for a bandwagon.
That's a really good one.
I know it's not really bandwagon in the spirit of it, but...
That'd be good for the Patreon.
I'd say you could do a good job on it.
Might have to wrap that idea now, Ian. I'm going to be honest.
You go ahead. It's all yours. Free.
Much appreciated.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
We'll chat to you soon.
See you soon.
See you later.
Back to Kevin and County Galway.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Kevin?
Yeah?
Would you like to ask a question? That's not...
Where'd you get your shades?
Where'd you get your shades? Well, we got them off this chap called Bono! He was really cool in a band called You Too, Kevin!
Hold on, I don't think that's sort of...
Kevin,
you can ask a question, Kevin.
Kevin, you can ask it. It can be a person, place, thing, or object. What would you like? And it can be yes or no.
Say that again?
It can be a person, place, thing, or object, and you can ask him a question, if you'd like to ask him.
Just try and guess which one I am.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, would you like to ask me another question?
Yeah.
Where'd you get your hairstyle?
Well, we got it in this place called Mark Peters.
Kevin, would you like to ask a question?
Wait, 1 minute. I just have to do something.
Well, Kevin, listen, you take your time. It's only live national television, so don't worry about it.
we are so delighted and excited to be joined by, I mean, the man I grew up watching, I'm going to be honest.
An icon.
An icon, a legend.
National treasure.
The moment. Francie Boylan, former presenter of The Den. Thank you so much for joining us on Bandwagons.
Is Don Conroy here? How's things? Because he's a legend of my eyes. How are you? Well, Breed, Fionnuala, how's things?
I mean, we're all the better now talking to you now, I'm going to be honest. I have this, Francie, I have this vivid memory of you doing a segment on The Den called, like, Gaffs, taking the piss out of cribs. And it's you, do you remember this? And it's you pretend, you're in some hotel or some place that isn't your house, like, and you were like, yeah, this is my house, this is my private kitchen, well done. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this man is everything and more.
Do you know where that, you're right, we did, Cribs was huge. So I was on it from 03 to 05, right? And do you know where that thing came from, actually, Cribs? Was for my audition tape for The Den, when I had to send off, if you wanted to be a Den presenter, you had to tell them why you'd be the best Den presenter in the world ever. So as part of that, what I did was I dressed up as a farmer, not much of a stretch, to be honest with you, and I had a peak cap and all that. And I went out and I said I was a turkey farmer from Leitrim and that I was going to move to Dublin and bring all my turkeys with me. And sure, if I had to mine one more turkey in Dublin, that'd be no harm, as in Dustin, right? So that was fun. So I did, we recorded it and we went out to like a friend's house who had a barn and all that. And I got them inside. They were like, I had about five or six mates inside going, gobble, 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 gobble. And like the production was on savage. But anyway, as part of that, right, I made out I was this farmer. And then outside the house was this old decrepit building. And I said, sure, come on inside and take a look at my house. And then we cut to a shot of a luxurious sitting room-ish type thing in Leitrim. So anyway, that went off for my audition tape and that was grand. And then when I got The Den, five auditions later, when I got The Den, they said, do you remember that audition tape you sent in? And I went, yeah. And it was like in the style of Cribs type thing. They said, well, we want to do an MTV style of Cribs with you. And we went up to the Four Seasons in Bald's Bridge, I think it's Intercontinental or something like that.
Oh right, my God. That is, I can't deal. Oh my God. Five auditions for The Den.
Yeah.
What a rigorous process.
It was fairly tight. And do you know what? This is the truth. A cousin of mine said it to me when they were looking for presenters of The Den, because I had just finished Ballyfermot College. I went to college there for 3 years studying radio and production. And radio was where I kind of wanted to be in. And cousin came to me one night and he said, you know, they're auditioning for The Den. And I went, yeah, but that's television. Like I do, it's radio, what I'm interested in. And he said, oh, you know, you should go for it. And I was like, ah, look, it's television. I don't want to do, it's radio where I am, or I'd like to be. So he said to me, anyway, you should throw it in. So I said it to a few more people and they were like, ah, yeah, should throw it in. So I threw in the tape and then, yeah, five auditions. And each, I think about five auditions, but I think, or each audition was separate. So the first one was just meeting the lads, Dustin and Saki, interact with them. The second one was interviewing a famous person. The third person was interviewing a group of kids and how would you interact with a group of kids. The fourth one was back with Dustin and Saki. And then I think the fifth one, I had to go up and meet them or something like that. Do you know? So it was just a chat. But yeah, it's fairly intense, you know?
Yeah, way more intense than I thought it was.
Yeah. Kind of makes sense. So when you lay it all out like that, there are a lot of moving parts to the show, like.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. You had to kind of turn around. Well, look, how would he interact with the lads, Dustin and Saki? So that was one thing. And then the next thing, so if we brought in a famous person, how would you interview them? And then the kids thing, you know, this is an interesting thing in the kids. I don't know if I ever told this to anybody, but when they brought a group of school kids in and they said, right, five kids, we want you to interview them. And I was like, about what? And they were saying, oh, the stock market. No, but like, about anything at all. So there's five kids and I went, holy shit, what am I going to like? So what I did first of all was I got their names, right? So then let's say there was Fionnuala, who's age 10, and there was Breed, who was age 8, and Shane is 10, and Francie or whatever. But I was going to go, how am I going to remember all these names? So what I did was I arranged them in order, right, type thing, beside me. And then I got their names and I wrote their ages beside me. So when I could glance down at my sheet, I'd go, oh, Breed, you're 10. So, and I knew she was second from left. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the boys told me afterwards that I was the only one of all the people that auditioned for that segment of it that had done that. And I went, Jesus, the only reason I done this is because I'd be useless with names, trying to remember them. And I went, well, it just goes to show that you were kind of, I don't know,
prepared,
clever enough, smart enough.
I know.
But and you know, it's funny when I'm on the radio now. It's still a thing I do in that. If I have a group in, I'll circle their names and I'll see where they're standing and all that sort of stuff, so I'll know where to go. Anyway, it's just an interesting trick.
Yeah, I'm robbing that one.
There you go.
What was it like to actually get the job and be on the Den as the host?
So I remember I was working in MBNA in Carrigan Shannon at the time, selling credit cards. Like, I'd done the J1 in America, I'd come home, finish college and get a job. And like, genuinely, I'm not joking, every second or third person in Leitrim had a job in MBNA in Carrigan Shannon. And I live in Manor Hamilton, so I used to... I was off that day, and I remember the day I was lying in bed. I know, and it was like 1 o'clock in the day, I know, but it was my day off, right? And I was living with my parents at the time, and the phone rang, and I went, oh, this is Dublin ringing now. You know, the 01208 number. You know, the RT number. I went, here it is, because I had been expecting it. They told me they'd let me know. Anyway, and it was Niamh Guckian, who's the producer and kind of the one that hired me, and she turned around and she said, how are your fans? How are you today? And I went, not bad. I'm actually on a day off, sound chilling. And Mam and Dad were in the kitchen and they were cooking dinner and all around the place. And I remember she said, I have some bad news for you. I went, all right. Oh, look, at least thanks for letting me know. And she goes, no. She goes, you're going to have to leave your job in Carrigan Shannon and MBNA. We want you to come to Dublin. We want to give you the offer and offer you the job. And I went, holy, can I say it?
You can say whatever you want.
Say whatever you want, Francie.
Oh, I was like, shit. And this is the truth. I was on the phone because they, Mam and Dad were there and the brothers were there and all that. And I was talking to her on the phone going, oh, you know, trying to remain cool and calm. And I was going, oh, that's brilliant. But I was gesturing to them going, I got the fucking gig. I got the gig, you know. And then 2 minutes later, she said, by the way, we don't want you to tell anybody. No.
That's so Irish, though. Like, your mammy probably rang everyone.
Oh, yeah.
In the five and minutes in between.
And this is the truth. And I went out to the garden and I got sick in the garden. I'm not making that up. And that's the truth, because I'm kind of nervous sort of
person. The excitement.
Yeah, the excitement. And I'm kind of nervous thing and the stomach. And I got off the phone, the whole, I just finished finished talking to Niamh and genuinely puked into, I don't know, Rosebush or wherever mother was going at the time.
God.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Sick into the bush. So, and then I went to the pub and we had an almighty session.
Oh my God. What a time. What a time.
It was cool. Like, you were coming back, because I grew up with Ray. Like, genuinely, Ray was and is to me. Like, I genuinely grew up listening or watching Ray Darcy and I loved Ray. And he was kind of similar sort of background to me in that he came from a large family. Like, there's nine in his house, there's nine in my house, 11 altogether, including Mam and Dad. And like, so I kind of could identify with him, you know, that type of way. And I used to listen to him constantly when I was in college, getting the bus out to Ballyfermot. And I thought he had a shit hot show on with Jenny and Ray and all that, or with Mairead and all them. And I was kind of going, here I am in the footsteps of like Ray and Damien and Ian. Because I was only the fourth presenter, really. And
yeah.
Funny, I managed to bring it down too. When as well as the What's Not thing, I also have that later being the last, you know, in that format with Dustin Saki and the presenter. I'm the last presenter of that. So I managed to bring that down in, oh, not bad, 2 years.
It went out in a high, that's what I say. Absolute high.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully, I'm not sure, yeah.
And do you have any, other than What's Nots, which we'll get into, do you have any standout moments from your 2 years?
Draw with Don is a pretty good one. And I don't know if there's any, there probably isn't, and I hope not. There's probably like, Don would come in and another, like, no more than yourselves, you would have known Don growing up as well.
Yeah.
And he genuinely is a decent guy. And he'd come in and then he'd say, right, Francie, today we're drawing sheep. And then he'd be drawing and he'd go, you start with the eyes and the circles and everything. I'd be going, geez, I'm getting the hand of it, you know, hang of this. And then my sheep would look like it is just after, I don't know, was in Chernobyl or something like that. I don't know. And his would be sound. But it was the innuendo then. So the boys would say, so he'd come in, right, and he'd turn around and he'd go, right, Francie, so we'd be like, now today we're going to draw like beavers. And I go, oh, Jesus. Or birds, or double-fronted birds boxes or stuff like that. You know, like, like everything had a bit of innuendo to it, right? And then what used to happen was Dustin would look round at me and Saki would look round at me and they'd say to me, Don, and Don would go, yeah, what's the bird on the old 50p coin? And Don would go, oh, Saki, that's a good question. That's the woodcock. And then the next thing, the two boys would look around at me and I just put my head down like I'm going, oh, Jesus, oh, God. It was just all these things. So the kind of innuendo with which is rife in children's television. So a bit of that. I met Tom Hanks.
Oh, cool. My God.
Yeah, met Tom Hanks. I got to go to, he was in the Polar Express.
Oh, yeah.
And, he was in London and I met him. And he was actually the coolest guy, and he's notorious for being nice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But he's savage nice, and we were all lining up. Just a really quick story: we were lined up in Leicester Square in London, and all media from all over the world was there, and we were there as the Den. And his PA come up to me, and she goes, "Did I meet you earlier?" And I was like, "No, we're just here." And she goes, "Well," she goes, "I thought I met you earlier," and she was having this conversation, just struck up a conversation. And then she goes, "By the way, I want to let you in on a thing. Tom is coming around and he's asking everybody what that statue is in Leicester Square and nobody's able to answer him." So I was like, right, and why don't you tell him it's Shakespeare? So I was like, grand. So about 20 minutes later, Tom eventually gets to, we're in line and we're waiting for an interview, and he eventually gets Dustin and I'm interviewing him by the Polar Express. And just before he goes, "By the way, where are you from?" And I went, "From Ireland." And he goes, "Oh, Ireland, I love Ireland." And he goes, "Do you know what that statue is there?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, that's Shakespeare, Tom. Sure, everybody knows that." And he goes, "Oh, my God, you've come all the way from Ireland to tell us that that is a Shakespeare statue. And none of the English people here were able to do that and tell us." And we kind of struck up this cool thing. And I got an autograph off him afterwards because I was like, Jesus, it's not every day I'm going to meet Tom Hanks, you know?
Yeah.
And I got an autograph off him. And he wrote on the thing, "To Francie, Shakes who?" As in Shakespeare. All the best, Tom Hanks, or something like that. I still have it. It's cool. It's really cool.
What a legend.
Yeah, yeah, he was great. He was nice. So, yeah, them type of things. We did a video for Amarillo. That was a cool.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So that's up on Facebook, by the way, or on YouTube. But
putting that on Instagram.
Them kind of things. And then I got to Lapland. Yeah, so them type of things. They were cool.
A lot of things you wouldn't have done anyway. You know, when you're
like once in a lifetime, and the only stuff that you'd get away with doing like as a job for the kids' TV show, you know what I mean? Oh, the dream.
Like, that was the thing. Like, you were getting to, you know, we got to Paris, traveled to Paris, got to London, obviously, a few times, and then Lapland. Like, that was the dream. No more than a lot of people, you used to watch the Christmas specials, and then you got to meet you go to Lapland. Our Santa ended up robbing our skidoo and was reeking a drink, but apart from that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was this really, it was like, you know, Santa, we've all that picture of, you know, the pot belly, the white beard and all that. This book looked like he'd just come out of, I don't know, like a rehab clinic or something like that.
Bad Santa.
And he was, he reeked the drink and everything. But good crack. It was good crack. Yeah, so memories like that and just having the crack, to be honest with you, you know.
Oh, what a time. I think we have to talk about What's Not. Like, I mean, it's a moment, a television moment that endures and like still comes up.
It's a catchphrase in my house.
Yeah. Oh, Brie is.
Every day. Where'd you get your hairstyle? No matter what we're doing, it's like, where'd you get your hairstyle? Where'd you get your shades? And even like, we've done live shows and we do Q&A with the audience, and no matter what, people will always ask, where'd you get your hairstyle? Where'd you get your shades?
It's part of the Irish vernacular, practically. Like,
do you know what I was, because I knew I was coming on here to talk to you today, and I was talking to Michelle and David that work me at work, and I was just telling them about I was going doing this, and I was saying there's not many things online nowadays that people kind of universally like. Does that make sense? Like, there's always somebody always has a comment about something. Oh my God, it's shit, or this, that, and the other. But genuinely, there seems to be a genuine love for What's Not. Like, there doesn't seem to be any badness towards it.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, I think there is a genuine draw for it and a love, and that. And I also think one of the reasons it kind of, you know, the way it surfaces every 6 months, like you'd be going, how's not everybody seen this bloody thing? Because it seems to be, it does the rounds. But there's this kind of thing that if I was in my position, like if people are watching, they're going, I'm glad he's laughing, because that's exactly what I do. It's like laughing at mass or laughing at a funeral, or, you know, them type of things, you know, you're not supposed to laugh. But I think that's why people enjoy it. I think I like that. And then obviously the idea that Kevin genuinely has no idea of how the game goes.
What was going through your head? Like, did you just think it was all just going to shite?
Yeah, I genuinely did. And see, the problem is when I get nervous or anything like that, and it still happens to this day, I start to laugh and I get really panicky. And my reaction is just to laugh at things. And it happened to me at a funeral one time where I walked into a wake house and I started shaking hands. And then I got really nervous inside because I didn't know where to go. And I started shaking hands with other people that were in the queue coming in for mourners. And they were like, no, I'm here to mourn as well. Or I'm here to pay my respects as well. And I started shaking their hands and they're all looking at me. And anyway, I didn't know where to go. And then I just started laughing at the thing. But, so there, like, no more than anything else, there's a wee story behind What's Knots. It happened on the 1st of April, 2004, right? So we used to always talk to the kids off air. So I was sitting there that day and Dustin and Saki, or Snotzer, was there. And we used to talk to them off air. So we used to go, how are you? And so who come on? So it's Kevin. And I go, Kevin, how are you? And he was kind of a bit off, you know. But we thought, all right, he's just maybe a bit quiet. And I remember saying to the boys, I was like, are you sure he gets this game? This is off air, right? Little did I know what was coming down the line. But he goes, are you sure he gets this game? And the boys said, no, he'll be fine. So, because he was really kind of, yeah, no, yeah. And I was like, Jesus, right. Okay, so we went live on air, and it's the 1st of April, 2004. And so we begin, and it goes, whatever. And then the next thing we go to, and then Kevin goes, how are you? Kevin goes, yeah. And would you like to ask a question, Kevin? Where'd you get your hair stuff? Where'd you get your shades? And very quickly, obviously, if people know the video, it goes downhill fairly quickly, right? And if you notice the video, right, I don't know if it's worth looking back on, you'll notice Dustin leaves the shot. He leaves the shot completely, so he's left with me. All that's left in shot is myself and Snotzer, right? Dustin went out to check with the control room if this was an April Fool set up by our producers.
No way.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. We thought we were being set up by the producers of the show because we were going, there is no way on this earth two kids that literally kind of don't get it, and particularly one of them, Kevin, who keeps just guessing what the hell Snotzer is, rather than going, Where'd you get your ladder? And then you're going, what? So we genuinely thought it was a setup. So off camera, you'll see me a lot in the video looking off camera, and it's when Dustin comes back in and he's going, he's mouthing to me, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. I went, holy shit. And that's when I started to get more and more nervous and laugh and bow my head and go, and then I tried to apologize in the middle of it, but that goes hair shape because I start to laugh again.
I just love when you go, you both get bikes. Just please stop. Like,
and do you know what? The producer that day who was directing was Hilary Jones, who's actually involved, I think, with the current setup on the Den, by the way. You know, when it's coming, obviously it's coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing that. I think she's back at the helm and she's a brilliant producer, really got it. Like, but anyway, when I went out afterwards into the control room, she goes, you gave them both bites. And I went, well, what the hell could I do? Like, there were, I genuinely just took the chance because we'd no earpiece or nothing, you know, like there's nothing like that. It was just, and there's nobody else in the room. The cameras are all controlled remotely. So, I went, oh, look, I'm sorry, but I had to do something. And both of them went on a bike. And supposedly she went in the control room. No!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is. I don't know, like, why do you like it? Do you know what I mean? Or why do you think people like it? Like, it's
if you were to think of, like, live TV and that whole thing of, like, anything that could go wrong, like, it will go wrong, but in the most kind of, like, least, in most Irish way, and like there's no malice, it's just a kid who like, either has great comedic timing or genuinely maybe not on this planet, but it was just, and it's everything. It's your reaction. It's like the you're in this room with like two, like Dustin and Sotzer, like two puppets who are just like, what do we do here? And you've Kevin on the other end of the line who like just really wants to know where Sotzer got his shades. Like, it's,
and you go, I just need to go get something. It's, like, it's just every small child, you know, like they just couldn't keep their attention.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, and I don't know if you want to know, but like, we met him there in 2017, right? 13 years after it happened. And we got in contact with him, and that's up on YouTube as well. It's What's Not 13 years later. And you can see Kevin. And we got in contact with him, and he told us, he told us that the phone was broke on the wall, and that's why he was going from one phone to the other. And he reckons that's why he couldn't hear us properly and all that sort of stuff. But it's on YouTube, and he explains the whole story, why it happened. But he was great crack. And then, you know what he did? He sold the bloody bike.
Did he? What a rash. Oh, like, my God.
At whatever age, 12 or 13 he was, he went away and sold the bike and made money out of it. Like, it's smart, like,
he was 12 or 13.
I think so. I think
that makes it so much worse.
Oh my God, what a like actual entrepreneur head in him, like, just.
But that's the thing, like, he's a real, he's like the real cute whore. Like, he went away and made money out of it and stuff like that. We went out with him that night in Sligo, and I tell you, we had a notorious night, and Jesus, he's a lush too. Jesus. Drinking Jaeger Bombers pints the whole lot, but he was great crack. And is, and still is, like, still great crack. Like, and, yeah.
That's so funny.
Blowing Galway. Still in Galway.
I was just going to say, Francie, what are you at now? Or do you have anything you want to plug while you're here?
I'm my own show on Ocean FM in Sligo. So we broadcast to Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal. And it's a mad title, The Francie Boylan Show. And it's a bit of crack. It's kind of light entertainment, bit of a magazine-y type style, bit of music, bit of fun. And that's really all I'm doing. And just kind of, I'm happy enough doing that and stuff. So it's great.
Thanks, Francie. Yeah.
No
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Two iconic interviews there.
Honestly. Did we ever think that when we started this podcast, we'd be speaking to Ian Dempsey and Francie Boylan Jr.?
No. Well, I always dreamed it in my head.
Yeah. I nearly got sick speaking to the two of them, honest to God.
I've never seen her more starstruck than when Francie Boylan said, how are you?
Oh, it's the Leitrim accent is just so dear to my heart. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I love it.
Thanks again. Thank Francie
you.
And Ian.
Yeah, thank you so much to our two friends of the pod now, Ian Dempsey and Francie Boylan Jr. Be sure to check them out. They're up-and-coming broadcasters.
Give
them a like and a follow and a share. Maybe tune in if you can.
And stay tuned for our episode on the AA Roadwatch alumni.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, between that and Foreign Exchange, we have got bumper content coming up, ladies and gents. God, I'm really glad this episode actually happened, because we have genuinely been talking about this.
I had a dream in my head that we would do it as a live, and we'd have everyone who ever had any part in the Den on the stage with us. But I can't see that happening for about 3 years.
Yeah, so that would have been such a good live. But if we were going to have to do it, we'd probably have to do it in fucking hazmat suits or something. But anyway, we'll get there.
It's the next best thing.
We'll get there. Do we have anything else to say?
What's coming up this month? We're swapping places, so I'm doing the playlist for Patreon this month. It's going to be called Shite Tunes That Are Actually Class.
Yeah.
And Vanula is going to do either a tarot reading or dream analysis. She has the choice.
What do you think I should do?
I think, it is the time for a dream. It's tarot.
It's the time for dreams.
Technically. Dreams are just, everybody's dreaming these days.
Everybody's been dreaming. Everybody's been doing dreams.
I think it is supposed to be tarot this month, but it's an acquired talent. So I'm not sure
what's
if you're ready.
What's that supposed to mean?
I just don't know if you have the time to learn.
I feel like I can awaken a chakra in me or something to do.
Chakra?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll do it anyway. I'll figure it out. Thanks to Shane from Collaborative Studios, as always.
This interview is dad.
Do you know what? Yeah, that as well. I'm going to start saying it at the start because I don't remember otherwise, and I feel bad now because actually.
What if we just record that as well and drop it in?
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
What if we just recorded like just generic sayings and dropped them all together like a bot? Put them into a bot and shoot out an episode.
Oh, that'd be so. Who is the? If you have the technology, you need to write to us right now. So
no,
we can do
we're going to come up with it, and we're going to be really, really rich.
Yeah,
we won't have to do this ever again.
Yeah. Thank you
so much. We will see you again
Tuesday.
Very soon. Tuesday, yeah, as per usual. Use on a choose. I thought that rhymed for me, but it doesn't at all. Use on a. Forget it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.